The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Get up. It feels like Christmas in April. The NFL draft is finally here. We know what's happening with the first two picks. Why, what comes next is a huge mystery. Part of that mystery is the Atlanta Falcons. Will they take Matt Ryan's replacement or make a trade? We've got the latest in moments. And one of our experts says one quarterback in this draft could be the next Aaron Rodgers. Who, what, why, huh? That's all ahead. Get up starts right now.
And all eyes are on Cleveland, where in 12 hours, the 2021 NFL Draft returns to the big stage in a public setting, and Roger Goodell's hugs, they will be back in full display in prime time.
We'll debate whether that's a good or a bad thing. Hi, do not adjust your television set. It's not 6 p.m. on the East Coast. You did not way oversleep. I'm Elle Duncan. That's Kevin DeGondi.
Good morning, Elle.
Good morning.
We usually host the 6 p.m. Sports Center, but since it's a sports holiday and Greeny's hosting the draft tonight on ESPN, we are here and ready to grow, and our crew is also ready here. We have the Get Ups normal cast of characters this morning. Dan Graziano, Mike Tannenbaum are here with us in Bristol. Dan Orlovsky is out in Cleveland, and Ryan Clark joins us from home, and they have a lot to tell us, fellas.
And why is that? Because the countdown is official. The draft tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, just under 12 hours from now, we will finally answer the questions that have been asked ad nauseum for the last 3 months and potentially longer. And we also have Todd McShay's final mock draft that just dropped minutes ago. And what a surprise. Look at number three. McShay has the Niners taking quarterback Trey Lance. He then has Justin Fields going number nine to the Broncos, which leaves Mac Jones, who many people have said is the third best option, going 15th to the Patriots. Again, this is per Todd McShay. Let's check in right now with Adam Schefter. And Schefty, what do you know right now about the latest with the Niners and what they're going to do with that number three overall pick?
Well, we know that the Niners have a decision, and Todd McShay believes it's Trey Lance. I can tell you that Trey Lance has closed the gap on Mac Jones. I don't know that it was enough to overturn him when the Niners traded up to the number three spot, giving up two future additional first-round draft picks. They did so with the intention of taking Mac Jones, but leaving open the idea that they would do a deep dive into Trey Lance and Justin Fields, which is what they've done. And I can tell you that they've come away impressed. I think Trey Lance is the smartest quarterback in this draft class, with a tremendous aptitude, well-liked by his teammates, beloved there at North Dakota State. And he has impressed Kyle Shanahan, and so he has gotten square into the conversation. Now, the 49ers have made their pick. They made the pick this week, and they are keeping it close to the vest. They're not sharing it with a lot of people, but we'll get to find out tonight on ESPN on ABC at 8 o'clock when the Niners get to announce their selection. It'll come down to Mac Jones or Trey Lance, and that pick will set into motion really the remaining picks in the first round, because if they pick Mac Jones, that means that Trey Lance and Justin Fields still are on the board. If they pick Trey Lance, it means Mac Jones and Justin Fields are still on the board. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But the Niners really start off the draft tonight, and what they do will impact the next dozen or so picks.
Listen, we can all agree that they're going to take a quarterback, even if we don't know exactly which quarterback that's going to be. With that being said, what are you hearing about Jimmy G's future in San Francisco?
We lost IFP. We lost IFP.
All right, I believe we've lost. Okay,
so
I believe we've lost Schefty. We'll get back to him in just a minute. Kevin, keep the conversation going.
Yeah, let's bring in Ryan Clark and Darren Olofsky. Guys, off of that McShay mock there, Dan, let's start with you. What happens if the Niners do not draft Mac Jones?
Well, I think the reality is this, Kev. You know, 15 years ago when athletic quarterbacks started to come into the NFL, we often said, maybe not 15 years, 10 years ago, like, where they go, there's got to be a very specific fit for a coach to go, okay, this is an athletic quarterback, let's use him the right way. And it's kind of flipped a little bit in the NFL, where a guy like Mac Jones, who isn't that athletic quarterback, there's a lesser group of teams that go, okay, we know how to utilize the things that he does well to fit our system, to excel our system, so to speak. And so there would be a smaller group of teams that I believe would be interested in Mac Jones than there would be interested in Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Because with Justin Fields and Trey Lance, you as a coaching staff can sit there and go, we're okay. Like, we could do so much with these guys because of their big, powerful athletic bodies, their big, powerful athletic arms, right? Where I think Mac Jones is a little bit more of a very specific fit to what you want to do as an offensive system. So if San Francisco doesn't take him, man, the ripple effect could be significant, because then you're talking about teams like New England. Are they going to go move for him? I don't think they would be overly aggressive. I don't think a team like Washington would be overly aggressive. I don't think a team like Chicago would be overly aggressive for Mac Jones. I do think they would be overly aggressive for a Trey Lance or Justin Fields.
All right, RC, what do you think of this potential fit here with Trey Lance and the 49ers?
I mean, you have to love it. I mean, honestly, I think this keeps Jimmy Garoppolo in play in San Francisco. But when you look at Trey Lance, that big physical body, right, the strong arm, and the way he protected the ball in 2019, this is the type of dude you want if you're Kyle Shanahan or if you're San Francisco 49er fans. And also think back to the Buffalo Bills, San Francisco 49ers last year in primetime and how great Josh Allen was, how mobile he was, the throws he can make inside and made outside of the pocket. To Stephon Diggs, if you're Kyle Shanahan, if you're John Lynch, and you're watching from the sideline, you know what you're saying? I want me one of those. And what you get in Trey Lance is one of those. And I think he can be very explosive in this offense that's very college-like for Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers.
Dan, I want to get your thoughts here on this specific thing. Now, the Niners sent three draft picks to Miami to move up 9 spots to get that third selection here. Many link them to Mac Jones. For them to change potentially the direction and their decision, was this a reckless move to not have a decision when they made the trade?
Listen, I think, and Shefty's kind of reported this, Kev, that they went and made that trade thinking, we want Mac Jones. But we're going to give Trey Lance and Justin Fields the opportunity to take that spot. Like, come take it. Prove to us that you guys are worthy of that 3 spot, that we would be making the wrong selection if we didn't choose you. And so I don't think that they went in saying, well, we're just going to figure this one out. We'll just go to 3 and see what happens. I think that they really liked a guy and were unknown about the other two. And they've just tried to really do a good job of making sure that they've checked all those boxes, that they've done all their research, that they've left no stone unturned to figuring out who they think. And Kev, I think this is a big point. If they have a losing record this year, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, that's 4 out of 5 seasons of losing records. This is a big year. They need big-time quarterback play this season.
That other season, though, was going to the Super Bowl and having a fourth-quarter lead, right? And that's why Shanahan has this leash here. And, of course, if we do see Trey Lance go at 3, that changes the entire outlook of the rest of the draft starting at 4 there with the Falcons, though.
That's 100% right. Many people believe, Kevin, they could be the true wild card because we know what they need. They need a quarterback. But reports are they're enamored with Kyle Pitts. So GM Terry Fontenot explaining yesterday what specifically the franchise is looking for in that 4th overall pick. Take a listen to what he said.
When you're picking at 4, we're trying to take an impact player, whether it's a player that's going to sit or a player that's going to play right away. We want to bring in an impact player that fits the culture, that has the right makeup, and we have a clear vision for that player. We understand we have to add quarterbacks to the roster, and there's a lot of good ones and a lot of good options.
Okay, so not exactly revelatory, impact player, some of those buzzwords that we hear in the pre-draft analysis. Shefty is back. We said not today, technical gremlins. It's draft day. We need our Shefty. What sense do you get, Shefty, of what Atlanta's going to do tonight with their pick?
Well, I think most people around the league believe that they'll wind up going Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end. And you hear people talk about him, and they gush over his talents. You're talking about a guy that Mel Kiper has as the highest graded tight end he's ever put on the draft board. And I think Arthur Smith is infatuated with Kyle Pitts here and all he can do and all the gifts he has. And I think the Falcons have gone back and forth. Now, if the 49ers, again, we go back to that pick, the 49ers go Mac Jones, the Falcons, I think, would be tempted on Trey Lance at number 4. But I also think they're going to be really tempted on Kyle Pitts, who's a player that many front office people and general managers believe might just be the top player in this entire draft. And I know we've got Trevor Lawrence there at one and Zach Wilson at two, a quarterback at three. But people love Kyle Pitts and his skill set, and it would not be a surprise if he wound up in Atlanta at number four. But, of course, we have to see what San Francisco does at three.
This speaks to the philosophical approach of the draft. Do you go for best available or do you go for need? Because they do not need, technically, more weapons in Atlanta. Whether it's a good pick or not, send it back over to Kevin.
Well, you know, when you look at the roster, they are now one player away here. And let's start with RC. What should the Falcons do with this fourth pick in your mind?
You know, I feel like the Falcons should be trying to move back and stockpile picks. I know a lot of people in Atlanta are going to be like, hey, man, get us a quarterback and let's start grooming him to take Matt Ryan's place. But when you look at what they are defensively, I believe they have to improve in so many spots. And there isn't a guy at four defensively that you want to take. So if you could get some picks in the later rounds of the first or actually stockpile some picks in the second or third round where you could find good value for guys, I believe that you do that. But it's all going to be contingent on what people feel about the other quarterbacks after the San Francisco 49ers pick, whether it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance, because now obviously people are going to feel like the Carolina Panthers could be in play. Obviously, L is very comfortable and very familiar with the Denver Broncos. They could be in play. And so if you want one of the other two quarterbacks, will you be willing to move up and grab one? And will that spot be four? If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I am faking it until I make it, saying we may take one of these other guys. If you want him, you better come get him, and you better come big.
All right, we're going to get L's thoughts on the Broncos later on in the program. I cannot wait for that. Dan, I saw you shaking your head at one point here. When you look at the idea of Kyle Pitts in this offense, how good could this offense be with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Kyle Pitts as of late April?
Yeah, this would be a top eight offense in the NFL, and you take Kyle Pitts. Now, part of me agrees with RC. Yeah, like you make everyone in the NFL think, we're going to take one of these quarterbacks. We'd love them, because then you can try and fleece them. But that's my point, Kev, is I'm taking Kyle Pitts unless someone comes and pays me a premium. Because if I'm Atlanta, I'm not just giving you what traditionally would be the four slot to trade out, right? I'm passing on a guy that many believe is the best tight end we've ever seen come into the draft. I'm not just giving you the four slot. I'm passing on the opportunity to add that player to my football team. So if you're Denver, or if you're Carolina, or you're New England, or I don't care who you are, and you want to come up to the four spot, you're paying me a premium. You got to pay me a premium, because I'm not just giving you four. I'm giving you four, and I'm also passing on the opportunity to add Kyle Pitts, who's the second best player in this draft.
All right, we're just getting started here. Of course, off the news of Todd McShay's final mock, having Mac Jones slide to 15.
Wow.
With the Patriots?
Okay.
Much more analysis on what that could mean and how that will play out in the top 10. And they are lofty comparisons, but one of our experts thinks two quarterbacks in this draft compare favorably to Aaron Rodgers and Big Ben. Who are they? That's ahead.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up with Kevin DeGondi and L. Duncan. It's time to run the hurry up with Dan Graziano. You ready, Dan?
I am.
How about the Cowboys' plans at this point?
Cowboys are thinking about the defense. The defense was terrible last year, L. Obviously, they were thinking about defense last year, too, and then CeeDee Lamb fell in their laps. Something like that happened again? Sure. But right now, they're focused on defense. I think cornerback for them, Horn or Surtain, probably okay. Horn at this point, J.C.
All right.
Horn.
Joe's kid. That's kind of how
most
people know him.
I almost said
Joe
Horn, honestly.
Joe Horn, I know.
I don't think they're going to pick Joe.
It's going to be tough. As is the decision for Washington, what are they going
to
do?
Washington has done some work on trying to move up to get a quarterback. It's going to be tricky. There's a lot of teams trying to move up right now. We're hearing a lot of names from that, you know, teens and 20s trying to get up for quarterback or other players. If Washington stays put, maybe a tackle, maybe a safety, but they could be in the mix for one of these quarterbacks if they start to drop.
Are the Patriots one of those teams?
They are.
To move
we
up?
Have
yeah.
heard that the Patriots okay. have tried to move up as well, potentially for a quarterback. A lot of this depends on what the 49ers do and which quarterbacks are left. But yes, the Patriots have made some calls about trying to move up and secure the quarterback as well. The 2021 draft is not universally loved.
Sure.
And so teams might be willing to trade more picks than usual in these deals.
This is what Vegas seems to think about that prospect. They favor New England taking a quarterback with their first pick in the draft at plus 150, followed closely by a trio of other position if it's not available, or quarterbacks rather, not available there at 15, which is where they currently sit. By the way, as we get reaction to what Dan said, Bill Belichick has never even drafted a quarterback in the first round, let alone move up to draft a quarterback in the first round. Ryan Clark, I'll start with you. Your reaction to Dan saying he thinks that Fields is headed to Boston.
I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, I think that was initially when we had heard that very early on in the draft process when we were thinking about Fields falling out of the top 10. Most of the focus was on the fact that Fields would fall out of the top 10. But to get an opportunity to go to New England, the thing that excites me about that is it says even though you're 7-9, with Cam Newton last year, you enjoyed having a quarterback that added some versatility. Josh McDaniels understood how and in ways that he could use him to be successful. And so now getting a guy like Justin Fields, who has many of the similar traits to Cam Newton, having those things work, having those things feel comfortable, I think that's a great spot for him, a spot to learn, a spot to be coached, a spot to be groomed.
Dan, is Justin Fields worth Bill Belichick doing something that he has never done in his history of coaching?
I absolutely believe it is. I absolutely believe his talent is worth it. And can we be honest and candid? Because RC, I know you believe this as well. This would be the best thing that could happen to Justin Fields. And I know the kids and their families don't want to hear that, but the opportunity, because you fall a little bit, right? You slip a little bit. The opportunity to go to New England? With that coaching staff and the roster that they have and the talent that they have right now, it's better to go 15 to New England than it is to sprint and have somebody like the Bears to trade up to 4 to take you. I mean, that would be a much better situation. Now, it won't feel like it because you think I fell and I slipped in the draft all the way to 15. But the reality is for these young quarterbacks, it is significantly better to slip a little bit and fall a little bit and go to a healthier place that is going to be able to support your development a little bit more and coach you a lot better. And for Justin Fields, if I'm sitting there and going, you know what? If the worst thing that happens to me is I slip to 15 and the New England Patriots take me, here I go. Like that is great news for me as a player. Because I didn't get what I wanted on draft night, so to speak. I didn't get to be the top 3 or 4 or 5 draft pick. But I believe, unequivocally, that I am set up for much more success long-term in the NFL because of where I am and who I'm with, whether if it was in comparison to a team, again, like Chicago or Pittsburgh that jumped up to 4 and take me.
Let me ask you this, Dan, because let's say that the Patriots don't go and get Justin Fields, right? Which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because we're talking about a Patriots team that we don't really know. They were hit hard by opt-outs because of COVID on defense. Cam Newton got COVID. He had no offseason or ability to really work with them beforehand. What about a potential to go and get Jimmy G? If we don't see the Patriots make a quarterback
sure.
move tonight, what are the chances they're still going to make one?
Sure, absolutely. And Bill Belichick knows and believes that there are multiple times of year for player acquisition, not just free agency, not just the draft. Jimmy Garoppolo, depending on what happens with San Francisco, could be available as early as this weekend. It could be in the summer, it could be in the fall, but Patriots know him, obviously. They like him. And, yeah, you could see them making him. Look, this, Garoppolo to the Patriots has been the thing everyone in the league's been saying for the last couple of months as the most likely thing. If they don't draft a quarterback, of course, you have to consider them in the mix for something like that.
He does have a no-trade clause, so he would have to sign off on the trade. It's not quite as easy as just making that trade. More on that coming up. But now's the part of the program where Kevin has to act like a professional and not show that he's seething inside talking about the Eagles.
I'm off the couch.
All right, with Carson Wentz now in Indy, the Eagles have yet to name Jalen Hurts the starter for next season. Having signed Joe Flacco this offseason, first-year head coach Nick Sirianni calls it an open QB competition. Philly holds the 12th pick in the draft after sliding down from 6 in a trade with the Dolphins. Considering they drafted Hurts last year in round number 2, QB may not be a need for the Eagles at 12, but look at the 6 teams picking above them. All except the Broncos have situations where they know definitely who their signal caller will be next season. Let's bring in our resident GM Mike Tannenbaum as well as Dan Orlovsky. Guys, I just want a good player, a guy that can play 16 games and have an impact on the roster. I'll even take the kicker. That means you're playing on this roster, right? Dan, what should the Eagles do in this draft in your mind at 12?
Listen to you. Listen to exactly what you just said, Kev. You take the best player available that's not a quarterback. I don't care if he's a corner. I don't care if he's a receiver. I don't care if he's an offensive lineman. I don't care if he's a defensive tackle. You take the best player available. Kev, you guys have 22 wins in the last 3 years. Do you want to know why? Because your roster's not very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's what unit on your roster do people sit there and say that's a strength? Maybe the offensive line? Maybe. And even that group is getting older. The receivers? Subpar. You're probably moving on from Zach Ertz. So Dallas Goedert, you got one player. Your corners, right now, your secondary as a whole, average to below average. Your linebacker group, we all know that situation. Take the best player. You have 22 wins in the last 3 seasons. You don't get that by having a good roster and one bad player. You get that by having a roster that is depleted in talent. Do not take picks to move up.
And stay healthy on the field. That was the key in 2017 because they had the trenches and they were dominant there with the offensive line. Mike T, what do you do if you were the Eagles here?
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of different ways you could go. Obviously, you need a top flight receiver. Hopefully, that's going to help with the development of Jalen Hurts. Here's a fascinating storyline to me. Obviously, we're talking about the quarterbacks. 10, 11, and 12. You have 3 NFC East teams. You have Dallas, New York Giants, and Philadelphia. They have similar needs when you look at the defensive side. They all could use a corner. They could all use a pass rusher. Brandon Graham's 33, Kevin, as you know. So I think this delicate dance tonight is going to be fascinating to me. I don't think any of those teams could drop back because they would be sick. I've done that before when you're trading back and you got a division rival staring at you. So I would expect Philly to go wide receiver or maybe corner, but look for those 3 teams to stay put tonight at 10, 11, and 12.
It is deja vu all over again as the Eagles search for a number one wide receiver, same position a year ago, and they failed to land a number one wide receiver. We'll see how this plays out, guys. Coming up, Trey Lance is a bit of an unknown, but not to Todd McShay, where Todd has him going in his final mock draft. Trust me, it's a surprise. That's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Al Duncan, Kevin Negandhi back with you on Get Up. It's draft day, and our draft analysts are releasing their final mocks. And take a look at Todd McShay's. The big shocker, Trey Lance going 3rd to the 49ers. He also has Justin Fields going 9th to Els Broncos. Mac Jones sliding to number 15 in the lap of the Patriots.
And we're going to have Dan Orlovsky and RC back with us. But let's also bring in Heisman winner Desmond Howard. And Des, let's get your reaction to this. McShay having Trey Lance go to the Niners at number three. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Kev, I tell you what, there's a lot to unpack there for me. But the first thing I want to say is, and Dan can tell you the same thing, and so could RC, that it is a privilege to be drafted by the National Football League. And it is an honor to go in the first round. So let's make sure that we have that out there on the table before we start making people feel bad about not going where other people think they should go. And most importantly, and Dan made a great point, I've been trying to tell people this, don't get caught up by what number you're drafted, whether you're 1, 4, 10, 15. Make sure that you're cognizant about the program, the franchise that you go to that's going to put you in the best position to succeed. Any agent, any good agent would tell his client that. He would say, don't worry about the number where you're drafted. Let's focus on where we're going. If they're going to put you in the best position to succeed. Now, with that being said, with the new mock draft that's just come out by my man McShay, I always thought that Trey Lance was in play for the 49ers. I never thought it was Justin Fields. I said it was Mac Jones or Trey Lance. I believe that they love this kid's grit, this kid's ability to bet on himself. Of the top five quarterbacks, he's the only one that had to deal with true adversity, meaning when he was in high school, they said, nah, kid, you can't play quarterback. Not at this level. No one wanted him besides North Dakota State. Everybody else wanted this kid to be a defensive player. So he bet on himself. He won. That goes a long way with people in the front office in the National Football League. So it kind of makes sense that he was always in play, and he just might be the pick tonight for the San Francisco 49ers.
Dez, appreciate that. And by the way, RC, in your second career, you are a first-round draft pick. So I just wanted you to feel conversation.
No doubt. Hey, I was wondering, Kev, I was like, how in the hell do I know what a privilege it is to be drafted and how it feels?
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
So I'm with you. But help me understand this, RC. Why do you think this is a good fit in San Francisco if Trey Lance lands there, considering the expectations that they have?
You know what? Let's keep it real. Everybody feels like it's a good fit for San Francisco, whichever one of these quarterbacks they get, because of Kyle Shanahan, because of the success he's had, not only in San Francisco, with pretty much every quarterback who has played there, whether we're looking at wins or losses or not, or what we've seen him do in Atlanta, or what his family and he has done in Washington. So you know what type of coach he is. You know the way that he can adjust and adapt to the skill set of the players. But you know why this is such a big deal today? Because of Todd McShay, because of Mel Kiper, because of Adam Schefter, because for the last 2 months, as the San Francisco 49ers moved up, all we've heard is Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. And we've totally ignored the other guys and their skill sets and how they would fit. Think about this. Think about a big, fast, strong, powerful quarterback on a stretch boot after the San Francisco 49ers have run for 140 yards in the first half, and you're a safety or a linebacker, and you got to make a decision between Trey Lance and George Kittle. That's a decision I am not envious of, and that's what you get when you get a Josh Allen-type talent at the quarterback position with the Kyle Shanahan offense.
Dan, the other big story on that mock is McShay having Mac Jones fall all the way to the Patriots at 15. Can this possibly happen? And if it does, help me understand what that would mean for Bill Belichick and the Patriots in the AFC East.
It can absolutely happen. It's the NFL. Nothing surprises me. I would not be shocked if Lance went 3 and Mac went 15 to New England. A big part of that is, what does Josh McDaniels want? And I have been adamant about that all offseason. Is Josh McDaniels going to go back to this type of offense that, you know, we saw them run with Tom Brady for 20 plus years? Because that's what Mac would be bringing. I also believe, because of the talent upgrade in New England and the offensive line that is in place there, that it's not all that different than a situation is in San Francisco. So I think if Mac Jones goes to New England, he's going to play really good. If Justin Fields goes to New England, he'll play really good. Trey Lance goes to New England, he'll play really good because of the situation that is in there around them. So, again, I don't think that these quarterbacks have to sit there and go, my goodness, I didn't go to two or three or four. But, you know, New England is a good place for a young quarterback to go to.
Yeah.
San Francisco is a good place for a young quarterback to go to. I would say this. If it is Trey Lance, and I said this yesterday, I think it's the greatest flyer at the quarterback position in the history of the NFL draft because of the lack of repetitions he has in college.
Yeah, less than 20 starts and just one last season. Back to Dez here, because you started this conversation where it really is about organizational fit. That's the key, not the number on day one here. Mac Jones going to the Patriots. Your thoughts about something like that brewing?
I think it's a good fit because, like Dan was talking about, when you go to the Patriots, you got to understand, I think that they have a history, obviously, of what they can do with a quarterback, how they want to run this offense. And I believe that Mac Jones is a guy, when you look at what he brings to any offensive, to any team in the NFL, his skill set about getting the ball out quick, processing things even quicker, and making sure he throws the ball with accuracy. Not just accuracy, great ball placement too. Those are the things that offensive coordinators want to look at when you have receivers like they have in New England. So I believe that that would be a good fit. It's so much more about the fit than anything else when you're being drafted into the National Football League.
And it continues a relationship that Bill Belichick and Nick Saban have with Alabama players going to New England. We will see how this plays out, fellas. Thank you so much. Time to get all comfy and let Elle cook a little bit. Elle?
No, it's all good. It's all good. We had a little pre-draft movie yesterday. I wouldn't exactly call it blockbuster. The Panthers traded quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos for a sixth-round pick in the 2021 draft. However, the trade will not take the Broncos out of the market for a quarterback in the draft, a source told our Adam Schefter. I mean, from the Broncos' perspective, look, this was an insurance policy, right? You knew you couldn't start the season as Drew Lock, your only option as a starting quarterback. Now they at least have Teddy Bridgewater, who, Dan, I know you said yesterday was an instant upgrade. But I want to do a little reading between the lines on this particular trade. Dan, what do you think your biggest takeaway was, and what does it signal for the rest of the league?
Puts those teams that want a quarterback on notice. New England, you're on notice. Washington, you're on notice. Potentially Pittsburgh or Chicago, you're on notice. If you guys want to move up and go get a quarterback, you got to jump ahead of eight right now. Because Carolina moving on at the eight spot from Teddy Bridgewater leaves them only with Sam Darnold, okay? And I love Sam. I don't think that Carolina is going to go into year two of this new regime with just Sam Darnold. And I think it puts them in play for a quarterback. And so now if you want one of those guys that starts to slip, if you want, because Sam Darnold, as talented as he is, and as much as I love them coming out of school, there are the things that make you go, okay, we can't totally bet the house on this guy. And I think if Carolina was going to bet the house on Sam Darnold, they would have traded more for him earlier in this offseason. So New England, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Washington, if you want a quarterback, you better jump, Judy. You better jump ahead of Carolina.
The beauty of having Mike T in studios is I'm watching him go like this as you're talking. Your response to what Dan just said.
I've been doing that for months at home, and no one's like listening. Yeah. Thanks, I appreciate it. Sorry, you know, usually I disagree with Dan O as much as I love him. But more than that, fundamentally, they have not exercised the option on Sam Darnold's contract. Mm. That tells you everything. When we make trades, we want to adjust the contract, whatever we're going to do, simultaneously. So think about this delicate dance going on right now. They give up three picks for Sam Darnold, yet they don't want to guarantee $18.8 million for 2022. So I think that tells us everything we need to know about the Panthers, that they are wide open at the quarterback position tonight at number eight.
Graz, you agree that quarterback is very much in play for the Panthers at number eight?
I think it always was. I don't think the Bridgewater trade necessarily signals that it's more so, because he was gone as soon as they got Darnold. But to Mike's point, I think it depends on who their guy is, right? It depends on what San Francisco does and who's available. If Carolina has someone in mind and they're there at eight, or maybe they move up a spot or two, then yes. Then I think. But if they're not, then I think that's when you see the option get picked up right on Darnold, because obviously they feel good about him, or else they wouldn't have made the acquisition. It's just a matter of how good and compared to what can they possibly get in this draft.
Here's the thing about the Panthers, right? They were 5-11, as you know. Eight of their 11 losses came within 8 points or fewer. That's despite having super average quarterback play and missing Christian McCaffrey. So if you're a Panthers fan and your team does not draft someone tonight, can you at least feel okay starting the season with Sam Darnold under center?
Absolutely, for all the reasons you just said. He's going to improve the position. There's some flaws in his game, as Dano alluded to, in terms of turnovers, but it's a good young defense. Christian McCaffrey comes back. They should absolutely compete for a wild card position this year.
All right, so the sparring on draft and what we think is going to happen continues here on Get Up. Also, some real actual jabbing from the pros. The Professional Fighters League regular season rolls on tonight. Welterweights, light heavyweights, 9 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and on the app. Coverage of the undercard starts at 5:30 Eastern on ESPN+. Make sure to ESPN app to get ESPN+. All right, as I mentioned, you may not have seen a lot of Zach Wilson and Trey Lance in college. So who do they compare with in today's NFL? This name is crazy.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back here on Get Up, it is draft day. Looking forward to tonight, less than 12 hours away, and Mike Tannenbaum in studio with us. Let's go through some NFL comps to get some of the top quarterbacks here. And the most intriguing one to me starts with Zach Wilson, considering his name popping up over the last 3 months from a guy late in the first round to now number 2 pick.
Kevin, this guy reminds me of Aaron Rodgers, and I hate to put such a high ceiling on somebody, but he is deadly accurate, especially outside the pocket. He puts so much pressure on defenses. When you could throw the ball 20, 30, 40 yards down the field outside the numbers with precision placement, that is why, to me, his game looks so much like Aaron Rodgers.
Off platform, we keep on hearing that term, right? How about Mac Jones?
Mac Jones, I've said this since January. He's Matt Ryan. I watch him all week at the Senior Bowl. He is precise. He has subtle athleticism in the pocket. He's really good with his feet. Very accurate. I love his release. It's quick. It's over the top. And because of that, he should be very consistent and have a Matt Ryan type of career.
All right, the name that's buzzing this morning, Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, he is a young Ben Roethlisberger, and here's why. He is dynamic with his feet. This is a great play here. He can run past you. He can run around you. He has a great arm. He can make all the throws. And the reason I like him so much, he has great upside. Just like when Ben came out, he was a developmental quarterback and obviously became a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, his last football season, 2019, where he played the full season, 28 touchdowns in the air, 14 on the ground, no picks. Justin Fields, the comp.
Kevin, first day of practice at Ohio State, I was there scouting him. He walks right by me. I'm like, this guy's Cam Newton. He is a man amongst boys. He is really well built for a college football player who's going to get bigger and stronger. He has a great arm, good downfield accuracy, and he is really fast, just like Cam Newton. I expect him to have a very similar, productive career.
All right, we'll see where he lands. That is the key. Could he be the teammate down the road with Cam Newton in New England at 15? Fields has been the most talked about quarterback in this draft cycle in terms of where he will be taken. Once perceived as the QB that would have go off the board after Trevor Lawrence, Caesars William Hill now has the over-under draft slot at 7.5, with them putting the favorite on him going under. All right, so let's bring back our guys, Mike T and Dan Graziano. Why has Fields fallen in this draft conversation? Because it felt like for 3 years in high school and then entering college, they were 1 and 1A, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Yeah, and Kevin, certainly when you go back to the 2019 season, he played just as good as Trevor Lawrence. I think a couple of things have happened. First of all, we keep hearing Mac Jones, until this morning with what Tom McShay put out, that he's going to San Francisco. I think that's a referendum of what Kyle Shanahan believes. In talking to a number of teams, a lot of teams have Justin Fields ahead of Mac Jones and Trey Lance. So I think this is a weird year. Dan, you alluded to this earlier, that if you had 10 teams, you would have 10 different orders. So I think that's one thing. And then this is one of the mistakes we make as evaluators, which is we're going to beat him up because, hey, he didn't play great against Northwestern, he didn't look great against Alabama. Well, Trey Lance played one game this year. Mm. So it's hard to reconcile those two sort of competing thoughts. So I don't know if he's falling as much as there's just some difference of opinions on him.
Absolutely. I mean, it's eye of the beholder with quarterback. There's no question about it. And you talk to teams who like Justin Fields a lot. And you talk to teams who have come up with questions about, oh, well, we want to dig in more on, you know, why he couldn't beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia. You know, that kind of stuff. So you hear it. And I'm loath to say negative stuff about the young man just based on one or two people's opinions. But the point is, you can talk to one team that says, yeah, we have Justin Fields ranked second or third in the class. And then the next team you talk to can have him ranked fifth. And they can give you reasons why, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not like there was some meeting of all 32 teams. They said, let's push Justin Fields down our board.
And Kevin, I think this bears noting, I think five quarterbacks are still going to go in the top eight, maybe the top 10. So at the end of the day, they're all going to go really high. Five franchises are going to put all the chips in the middle of the table on them, including Justin Fields.
That's right. So it's about splitting hairs, right? Yeah. It's like, I like Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones a lot, but I have to rank them because if I had the choice, I'd have to pick one. So how do you do it? And that's pretty much where this
Graz, help us understand, too, specifically about this when you talk to people around the league. And this audience is probably trying to wonder here, hey, one of the games that he stood out, he outplayed Trevor Lawrence. Yes. He got hit hard, came back, and was fantastic in that Sugar Bowl in the playoff, right? So what happens here? How do we understand what is going on where he doesn't play football and then 3 months you hear his stock drop?
I mean, I go back to Deshaun Watson, right? I mean, like he beat Alabama in the national championship game, but that wasn't enough to make him the first overall pick or even the first or second quarterback selected in his draft. Obviously, there are more things that go into it. You know, these teams, and Mike, I'm sure, can speak to this. You don't really start drilling down on these guys in terms of an evaluation until what, January?
Absolutely.
I mean, so nothing. The fact that they haven't played doesn't necessarily matter because all the work has been done since the last time they did.
Appreciate the perspective, the insider there with Dan Graziano and Mike Tannenbaum. Now let's get more reaction. Let's go to L.
Yeah, I do, to Dan's point of what he's been hearing from people, you know, why didn't Justin Fields beat out Jake Fromm? I would like to believe that this year has proven with what and how Kirby Smart handled his debacle at quarterback this year. He is not the best talent evaluator when it comes to who should be starting under center for his team. I do want to ask you, RC, though, why you think Fields is falling.
You know what? I truly don't know. I think Dan makes great points when he talks about the evaluation process really kicking off or starting once the season has ended. And maybe we're to blame. Maybe I'm to blame. Maybe a guy who met Justin Fields at 17 years old and saw him side by side with Trevor Lawrence and thought he was just as good, if not better, entering college. Maybe that's my fault. Or maybe me understanding that Jake Fromm is a white quarterback from Georgia that was a five-star that led that team to the national championship and Justin Fields is an incoming freshman. Maybe that's why I understand why he didn't start. Oh, I can look at 2019, see 50 touchdowns, one turnover, one interception, and say, you know what? That's an exceptional year. He should be drafted in this place. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe the way I see it is wrong. But it is about fit. It is about teams' individual evaluation. And what Mike T said is very true. People keep focusing on Northwestern. People keep focusing on Indiana, which if you look in those games, there's 8 bad throws, right? 9 bad throws. So over his 2 seasons, they have picked apart those things, and that's gone to his processing. That's gone to his ability to progress, to get through reads. And now Justin Fields will fall where he is. But we have to remember, Patrick Mahomes, number 10. Deshaun Watson, number 12. Aaron Rodgers, mid-20s. Good quarterbacks get drafted late sometimes and become Hall of Famers because they're in the right place. Justin Fields just might fall to the right place.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not calling a Hall of Famer, but just recency bias alone, Justin Herbert. We had some of those same criticisms for him coming out last year. A one progression guy, makes questionable decisions, not necessarily has the pedigree, and he had a fantastic rookie year. Dan, why do you think? I know you've been looking at the tape. What would you say are your concerns at this point with Fields?
I think there's some mechanical flaws in deliberate with the football. Al, there's a lot to unpack here, okay? I think, first of all, it's important to point out, and certainly I have been someone who has learned over the last 6 weeks, that we don't know if Justin is actually falling, all right? Like, we don't know that,
sure.
And we will find out tonight. RC pointed out the Northwestern and Indiana game, and I think it's important for everybody at home because they hear Northwestern and Indiana, and they don't think, like, wow, really good college football teams.
Mm-hmm. Big
Northwestern
time defenses.
Was the number one defense in America, okay? The number one defense in America. He played that game without his number one receiver. And then Indiana was the number 5 defense in America, okay? So, like, those struggles were against two of the top five defenses in college football. In both of those games, he was missing starters, okay? So that the context in that matters. I don't think there's been anybody on television in the media world that has disproved the on-field stuff that has been said about Justin Fields more than me. Now, the progression stuff, I've totally used evidence to disprove it. The inability to read a defense, I've totally used evidence on tape to disprove it. But I do believe, and I think this is fair, that on the field, two things stand out. He's deliberate with the football. You know, his feet are pointed, his body's pointed, his head is pointed. I'm throwing the football there, everybody. And that usually will lead to some struggles in the NFL. So you got to figure out, can you get that out of his game? As a coaching staff, can you get that out of his game? And then today on NFL Live, we're going to do this tape where I do believe there's mechanical flaws with his throwing. And I'm going to show why. And those are real things that as an organization, if you don't have a comfort level with it, you don't have a comfort level with it. Maybe there's an organization that says, you know what? We don't believe that we can alter his throwing motion to the way that we want it or the way that we think you need to be as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And that's their opinion. So I do think that there is some on the field stuff that is valid. But again, I said this a month ago. If this young man falls out of the top four or five of the NFL draft, we have failed as an NFL community because his talent is too good.
We're projecting Trey Lance based on his 2019 season. Why are we not doing that for Justin Fields, who was as good a quarterback in all of college football based on he's being punished because he decided to play in that shortened COVID season, it feels like. We'll see tonight, though, right? Dan Orlovsky and RC sticking around all day. Kevin?
And we'll have a special NBA Saturday night doubleheader for you on ESPN and the app. Steph and the Warriors playing the Rockets, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Steph entering that MVP conversation. That conversation is led by the big man, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, taking on Paul George and the Clippers. Our coverage begins NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern. Coming up, many believe the NFL draft begins at number 3 with the 49ers when Mac Jones' name is expected to be called. So what happens if it isn't him? Answers ahead.